listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host, Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio. And tonight, we have very, very good night. Why? Because I have four beautiful ladies with me, and I'm including myself. Hello. And I have one more calling from Austin, from very near Dallas. And that will be my small surprise. I will be wishing also my caller happy birthday today. Anyway, today... Okay, maybe I will introduce my guest very short. On my left, like always, Stephanie Mack. I cannot live without her. She's the youngest, the most beautiful, vibrant girl who just is taking care of my sound. And she always knows which button to push, on or off. I like her because of that. And of course, sometimes because I'm so accented that I have like break, you know, shortage like of electricity in my brain. And like, I don't know what to say. And she's giving me this English words that I'm just messing in my head. But on my right, our expert on sex and relationship, Dr. Estella. Hi, doctor.
Hi, how are you doing, Ilan? I'm so happy to be here tonight.
I know. You know what is the most wonderful? That for two times, last 2 or 3 weeks ago, you were first time our guest, and I just fell in love with you. I don't know what to tell you, but, you know, first your energy, your accent, your knowledge, and you're just, you are so full of energy, and I think I am a little bit similar to you, a little bit, but I wanted so much to learn from you because I know you have so many advices that I need to get from you. And I know all of my friends probably will be very, very, very thankful to have you again on our show. And I'm like, again, I'm praying that you one day, you'll be just ours forever, my accented expert on the sex and the relationships.
Oh my gosh, I'm so appreciative that you're wanting me to do that, and I'm here today, and I feel honored of being here and having fun while at the same time educating people and basically helping people to reflect upon their lives. You know, we are in a rush life that we never spend the time to really think about ourselves and what is going on with our lives and how to take charge of them.
Yeah, and what I love about you, did you make this all like upbeat? You know, the mood is around you very up. You don't feel depressed. Sometimes when we are getting advice, they are very serious. And
I have my moments.
Yeah, you need sometimes say, you know, you have nothing that I can help you with. You go home and just...
Absolutely. We don't want people to think that, you know, there is
life,
life is such a thing that we never have our lows. You know, we all have them. What is important is to know how we're going to handle them and what we do with them.
And of course, we have also another guest in my studio who will be for a long, long time with me. She's my friend. She's my co-producer, Mary Grace. Hello.
Hi.
And obviously, you have your own point of view on life. Your motto in life is to how to make the world a better place.
Yes, I think we just mentioned it last week too. The number one way to make the world a better place is to know yourself and to be a better human being. And the better human being you are, you'll lead by example. And then you'll change other people who will hopefully change the world.
I like that, you know, because we have a lot of conversation, and mostly when we eat Japanese or just drink a little tea or something, and all of friends are just loosely talking, and mostly we're talking about family, about children, about what to improve in our lives, and then most of my girlfriends are going even deeper into politics, into what we are afraid of, and, you know, and sometimes when I talk to my girlfriends, they don't talk about themselves, they talk about what to improve in a children's life, husband's life, on mothers who we're sick or somebody, well, and we don't have time to think about ourselves.
You know, because, you know, what you're talking about is like kind of deferring the responsibility and trying to blame somebody else or trying to fix somebody else, and that's impossible. We can never fix somebody else. The only person that we can fix is ourselves. And that brings me to a very important point, in that we should never compete with somebody else. You know, the competition is with ourselves. If every day we're better from what we were yesterday, and as Mary Gray said, you know, we take a stand in the world and we model that, you know, to the world, and especially parents to their children, hopefully they will be observant enough to do it themselves, with their own personality and their own character.
Right, leading by example.
Leading by example, but not necessarily tell them, this is what you need to be or that's what you need to do.
I like that. You know, Mary, I am not sure. Oh, we have a guest calling
we
in.
We do. Sarah is on the line.
We'll come back to our wonderful discussion. And we have, I have so many questions that I need to ask Dr. Estella. But right now, I would like to say happy birthday to Sarah. Everybody, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We will not say how old are you, but you are very, very beautiful, a very, very young mother of two. Hello?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, then you have two babies, two children, yes, Sarah?
I do.
Okay, yes. And we just were talking that mostly ladies who just want to improve the world mostly are trying to improve husbands, children's lives, and we never have a time for ourselves. And I know how beautiful mother you are. You have a really not easy life in a way, but I will be having you like my guest for a little bit longer, maybe 2-3 weeks from now. And I know that your life is just full of challenges, but you still found the time to be a painter. Tell me,
that's
Sarah.
What I do for myself.
Sarah, I would love first and foremost to can you tell me your name, because it's pretty unusual.
My name is Sarah Manch. That's my married name. My maiden name is Losi, so Sarah Losi Manch.
Are you originally you are an American, yes, with roots?
I am, yes, born in Texas, yes.
Then forever text. Yeah.
My heritage, though, is German, I believe.
Yes. Yes. And I don't hear an accent.
No.
Even when you are from Dallas.
My mother's from California, and tried real hard not to let us have a Texas accent.
We do
sometimes. But generally speaking, you can't catch it.
We won't discriminate against you. Don't worry.
No, yeah, this
no.
time.
I get excited or really nervous. You'll hear it come out.
Oh, you are so sweet. Sarah, I know, like I said, you are a very, very busy mother of two, but you still are finding time to just paint, and you make beautiful pictures. And what's really, really made me fascinating is the way how you decided to express yourself, and, you know, and you paint your body of women's, and you turn them into something so beautiful. And I have example on our Facebook, beautiful lady, full of colors. Tell me, where this idea came from?
Well, you know, it just sort of came. I used to paint only with my hands. Probably about 20 years ago, I really started to paint using oils with my hands on canvas. And I just had the desire to paint on a person, to cover their skin with paint. And I had a girlfriend that I was comfortable with, and she was comfortable with me. And we started talking about it, and she said, well, paint me. And I said, okay. And I did. I didn't use my hands. I used a brush, but I painted her entire body, and it was fantastic. You couldn't covered everything. It was beautifully done. We took some pictures, and then 10 years later, we did it again, and that's the picture that you're looking at there.
Yes.
I've done a few pieces, painted some hands and things like that, but most those are my full bodies. I'd like to do more. I have a few people that are interested in having me paint them. As gifts for their spouses or for whatever, but I'm just getting started.
What a beautiful idea. First, you know, this is not nudity. Really, you cannot see just a body's beautiful, it's full of colors. And do you think that a model that you are painting, you're paintings on, how you feel about it. Do you why you decide to use this color or that color? Are you pre-thinking this before you start painting, or
no.
just you talk about colors? How you?
No.
Yes. How does this happen?
Sometimes I have a general theme as far as. On that one that you're looking at there on the website, I knew I wanted to sort of use turquoise, but I didn't have it planned out. I just dumped out a bunch of paint and a sheet and started painting. And she was my canvas. So I, you know, follow the curve of her body, and we were talking and laughing and just painting as I went and sort of made it up as I went along. And that's most of my paintings are that way. Unless I'm doing a portrait, obviously I...
Yeah.
But with color, it always sort of just comes as I'm painting.
Yeah, and everybody will say, huh, the saddest thing is that later you need to take a shower and it's no more art, you know, and this is very sad when I think about this. Then how you, right now you say you will be putting everything on canvas, yes, you will try to...
Right now I'm doing mostly canvas, but I have, like I said, several people that would like me to paint them as my canvas, and I plan on doing that. I just, you know, set up and timing and scheduling, but I think I have three people that bodies that are have requested that I paint them, so I'll be doing that soon.
Yeah, that's very unusual because, you know, we have portraits of ourselves. We have portraits in, you know, beautiful clothes. We have, but really, this is a body of human. Yes, this is a body of human. Is it really very beautiful? We were just, again, admiring the colors. And then, Sarah, how long it takes you to paint the human body?
This is really going to surprise you. That painting that you're looking at there took me about an hour, maybe, hour and a half at the most.
And then your model need to dry out? How does this work?
No, it dries. I used acrylic paints, just regular acrylic paints. It dries relatively quickly, and we took some photographs, and then she took a shower. I'd say all in all, start to finish, before she was not painted anymore, was 2 hours. So
beautiful. And I hope you have in the future some plan for the book or something. Because
I would like to. It's been discussed a few times about having well-known people even put their own input as to the colors or the design and make some sort of coffee table book. And I would be delighted to do something like that. I'd like to do that with anybody, you know, several people. I'm collecting my portfolio of body painting to hopefully do that someday.
Okay, Sarah, I know that I have in plan to talk a little bit more with you and about lots of things. And also, if you allowed us, a little bit about maybe your life and your personal,
sure.
I don't know, you overcome a lot of problems in life.
Fine.
And yes, and yeah, you are just, for me, you are a hero. You know, you are first and foremost, not only you are an amazing mom, and you had big troubles in life, and now, you know, you are a painter, you have your dream, and I believe this is something so unusual that probably will lead you to some beautiful things. Then thank you for calling tonight. Happy birthday again.
Thank you, kiss
your babies from us, and again, happy birthday to you, Sarah. I love
thank
you.
Thank you, Lana.
Bye bye.
Have a wonderful night.
Thank you so much.
Bye
bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's talk about maybe the sad theme, because for today, Dr. Estella, we are talking how to find trust, how to find a person that we will fall in love again after divorced. This is a topic who is pretty sad, you know, but yeah, you tell me, do we need to look at this topic this way?
Well, it depends how you look at it, you know, yes. Because finding trust is not really sad, it's happy.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of taking the road to trust. You know, the sad part that we all go through life is when we have a divorce that is going to have an emotional impact on everybody that is going through. Yeah. There is no other way around it. You know, there's so many emotions that are triggered in the couple, in the children, if there's children involved. And the issue is how to overcome them and how to basically put the emphasis on what is rather than what is not. Basically, also, you know, if there's children especially, the parents need to put the emphasis on themselves. It's not like two pieces of a puzzle. Yeah. It's not about who you're going to blame. Sometimes the pieces of a puzzle, they don't fit together anymore. That's it. You cannot blame one or the other one. You just have to go out there and look for a different piece of a puzzle.
Wow.
You know, because basically a lot of people, unfortunately, one of the things that they do is that they try to turn the partner into something terrible and awful so that they don't have to experience the pain of letting go of that relationship.
You're so right.
You know, it's harder to let go of somebody that you value than to let go of somebody that you hate. But there's no need to hate somebody. That's an awful emotion. You know, and many people, you know, end up doing that to their partners. No need for that.
Wow. Okay, but when we have marriage that takes the short marriage, 2, 3, 4 years, we can understand that people don't have too many memories. Maybe they don't have children yet. Maybe they don't have business together. Maybe they have big love, and then love somehow is not deep enough to carry on. But then when children are coming, you know, we have history, we have schools, we have our vacations, we have successes and ups and downs, and you feel very close to person, and you think that nobody can take a seat when this person will leave you, or you will leave this person. It's very hard to replace
That. That's a projection, you know, because one of the things that happen is like losing an arm or losing a leg. You know, we need to learn to live with what it was not there.
Okay.
And even an object, you know, we're not into replacing somebody. If you want to replace somebody, don't leave him.
Okay.
Or her. You know, we really need to go out and look something new and different for what it was. You know, when we are leaving a relationship, or people are really leaving a relationship of abuse, for example, the problem is that the person, in order to get into a new relationship, they need to first make sure that they have healed, that they have grieved, and they need to look into themselves and maybe even go into therapy to look into how come they ended up in a relationship that it was abusive, so that when they go into a new relationship, they don't repeat the pattern. They don't wear the victim's hat.
Yeah.
You know, they're not playing the victim's role. And a lot of times, due to repetition compulsion, you know, we end up looking for somebody that is going to help us overcome something from our past. Maybe something that we lived or we observed living in our parents' relationship, or we thought it was that way, but it's not that way anymore.
Right. But we say that love is blind. Can you be blind for a long, long time and just don't see
No way. Okay. Love is not blind.
Okay.
You know, because at the moment that you say love is not blind, that's doom.
Okay.
You know, it's doomed for problems in the relationship, because once we go into a relationship, we need to take a stand. We need to be ourselves. Yeah, you know, if you're in a relationship that you start putting aside who you are and what you are for somebody else, is like living in a shadow, living in an eclipse. And once your needs become so important and so out there, then is when the problem starts, because you start telling your partner, hey, but what about me?
What about me?
I'm giving, and what about me?
Where is my time? Yes.
Exactly.
What will happen to me?
Everybody needs their time, not necessarily 50-50.
Yeah.
It changes. It's ups and downs that change over time.
And okay, then you are right, because ladies, special woman, you know, we try to devote our lives to children, to husbands. I really think we are taking sometimes a little backseat in life. We are taking, oh, my time will come. I have a lot of wonderful girlfriends who had education, but they decided to be mothers because they believe that when children are leaving for school, this is the time that they can start doing something for themselves. Mm-hmm. And now, obviously, we all have 18 years old children, and they are in the college, and we are talking over the coffees, and oh wow, what a fear I feel in the room. Everybody doesn't know what to do.
But that may be, you know, kind of in a way to bring back into the subject about the divorce and going into relationships.
Yep.
That could be a problem that is created in the relationship.
Yes.
Because either the husband or the wife are the ones that want to go back to college. In my case, I can share, for example, that when my children started elementary school, that's when I went back to college. I was living already in the United States, and when they were at school, I would go to college. But I have to say that as the years pass by, everything has pros and cons.
Yes.
Because on one hand, I gained that education. I was a great model to the importance of the education and having a career. But then on the other hand,
family.
I was also losing in the time spending, you know, with the family. Because whenever, you know, I had exams, I had to study, I had to write the essays, and there's always going to be a sacrifice. And because I have an accent, anybody noticed, I do have an accent, and I learned the language. When I came to the United States, I would go to my classes, and I would record all my classes. And my children would hate the sound of the recording, like, rewinding in order to take my notes. That created sometimes some problems, you know, and conflicts in the relationship.
And you think that your partner is supposed to support you, yes? Support you when you want
And I was very lucky. I was very lucky in that my husband, you know, at the time, he supported me and he was there and we took turns and he was an amazing husband and father in that regard.
Did you still say that... it's okay in the middle of the relationship when your children are growing, do not wait until children get out of the home to wait and create life for yourself. You still need to take a time for yourself and start thinking, preparing yourself for this time.
You always have to take time for being yourself. I mean, you know, every day, every minute, if you're within a relationship, you have to be yourself. Otherwise, who is your partner relating to?
Yeah, yes, because life is not the destination. Life is the journey. So to enjoy each and every day, no matter what it is, and be in the moment and be present, that is life. Because no one is guaranteed, you know, what type of future is going to be. So you want to enjoy the now every day.
Absolutely, Mary Grace. I so much agree with you. The here and now is what we have. We learn from the past. And we have the dreams of the future, and then we have to take a risk, you know, to go through the road and to go through the unknown over and over again, not being afraid of when we fall. We fall, we stand up, and again we go.
Okay, but and you are right, but you know, when you have a woman who is just left with the children, your husband left recently, okay, or you have a woman who has children already out of the house, and house is empty. Okay, empty, nobody's there. She has memories of
If the person is not empty, the house will never be empty.
Okay, then you are going back to that you need to make something of yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, you need to come back to that. You need to feel
your
life.
Yes, there's going to be moments in which, you know, you feel like sadness.
Yes.
And the emptiness is more felt because of lack of activity, lack of social involvement. The stories that we create in our mind, nobody cares for me anymore, nobody remembers me, and we start feeling miserable.
That's
and we all
the
have
saddest.
We all
the
have
self-talk.
Our moments.
The self-talk.
You know, the self-talk is what creates 90% of the time it's going to create how we feel.
Okay.
So then, we can always, always change it.
But now, the person is miserable, okay? Has all these thoughts, oh, I'm not worth it. I was so good to wife. I was so good mother, you know. And the same happens with husbands. I'm not saying that it's only one-sided. These men have the same situation. They are maybe even more scared, you know, to look for the new ladies.
It's different because men have different needs than women.
Yes.
And they, generally speaking, you know, men are involved with work. Not necessarily women are involved with work. They are involved with work at home, with work, which is very important as well, and with work with the children, but not necessarily is the same.
It's not
we
the same.
Need to go into, again, I cannot emphasize it, you know, we need to go into finding ourselves to be in that relationship with another human being and listen, you know, communication. We have a lot of problems in relationships with communication. Communication is about knowing what we want to say to the world and giving the pause and the space to listen and clarify what the other person may want to tell us.
Absolutely.
Which I agree with you. Communication in every marriage, in every relationship is really the most important. But like you said, sometimes we don't know how to communicate. Sometimes we do not want to hurt somebody's feelings and we are hiding what really, really bothers us to avoid the conflict. We are keeping the issues inside. And, you know, I think...
And from time to time is important, you know. Not necessarily keep all the time the issues, but timing. You know, if we find couples
and wording, how you express it, you express your feelings, not making the other person, don't blame the other person, just take it on yourself. This is how I feel when this is done.
Absolutely.
So you don't put that person on the defensive.
You know, and it depends the when and the how. You know, if you're going out to dinner and, you know, you see couples all the time that they're putting down each other or they in front of other people, that's not good. You know, that's something that the couple needs to solve at home. So it's not holding back all the time, but holding back until you have the privacy, you know, to talk about the issues. And sometimes, you know, the emotions may be so high that it's also time to say, not now, you know, because it's going to end up being to the detriment of the relationship rather than to something positive.
And when you sometimes are situation that you feel like you are loved, and maybe relationships ends unexpectedly, okay, and it's very hard to grab the reality because one day you had something and next day you wake up, everything is crushed.
And there's going to be a sadness for the absence. Yeah. There's no question about it. You're talking about sadness either if you decided to leave the relationship or maybe one of the partners passed away and died. Yes. There's going to be a void that needs to be filled with the new being, with the new way of life. And you need to, it's important to respect that, to acknowledge that that exists and to grieve the relationship of what it was and to recover oneself.
How do you think we can find in another future person that we are looking for to not to fill the void of somebody who left you or who died? Because we need to find new person. And like you said, comparison is probably not so good things, you know, to bring on the new to the new relationship.
Right.
But I think that the most scary situation for everybody is to just say, okay, I need to go out there and start searching for somebody that maybe I'll never fall in love again. You know, that's the
Why
first
not?
Probably question.
That's negative already. No. We can always fall in love.
Absolutely.
But wouldn't you agree?
I've got my heart broken so many times, but it doesn't stop me from taking risks.
Okay.
Just keep taking risks. And I never see it as searching. I put out to the universe, like put out what it is I'm looking for. And when I'm ready, I know that the right person will come to me. Because when you search, I don't know if you understand, maybe, you know, to go on an internet dating or whatever is actively looking.
Right.
But to search, the word search has like this word.
Well, you know,
it's like you're looking.
I see it more as opportunities. Opportunities that are there all the time around us.
Absolutely.
What is important is to be open, to open our eyes and to be open to see those opportunities.
Yes,
so,
I totally agree.
You know, you can call it searching. You can call it opening your eyes, you know, being out there, noticing something. Obviously, you know, if you're in search of a new relationship and suddenly you're in an event or in a party or what have you, and you see somebody that at first sight, you know, you get attracted, then we go into the dating period.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to flirt, but you need to know, you know, what the flirt is going to be, what your intentions are going to be with the flirt, how fast you want, you know, for the relationship to evolve. And so you flirt, you get, you know, closer together, and then what's next? It starts with talking to each other and setting the ground, setting the rules. Basically, you're stating who you are and what you're not.
Right. And it's most important to know who you are and what you're not, and
exactly
what you want and what you don't want.
If you don't know who you are and if you don't know, you know, what are the baggage that you carry from your past, you know, you're not going to be able to identify it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, for example, right now, myself, I know that when I was growing up, you know, I didn't like my father being overly nice, that he wouldn't, with his wife, my mother, and my mother had a very strong character, and I didn't like that. You know, I felt that my father was stepped on sometimes, and I didn't like that. So I guess that in a way, you know, I'm always looking for a partner that is not going to let somebody do that to them. You know, that is going to have the self-respect enough to say, no, this is not good. So when respect, we're coming into the word respect. Respect is a very important word, you know. respecting each other, respecting oneself, and then respecting your partner.
Exactly.
Do you think that when you are really, really angry, people are using sometimes harsh words? Do you think we need to completely forget that words like that exist, that can hurt? Or sometimes, you know, people just...
Well, it's like with verbal, I agree with you. It's like with verbal abuse and kids. I mean, words are so powerful that we need to be very careful in how we use them.
Yeah.
And partners need to have those ground rules as well. You know, there is no reason why to insult or to use foul language when you're angry. And you will be angry.
Yeah.
There is no such thing of disagreeing or having moments of anger in a relationship. But the same way that you go into a ring and you have rules that you don't hit below the belt, you don't hit below the belt in your relationship either.
That's very important.
You hit
rule.
Below the belt, but in different kind of sexual, sensuous situations. And that's when you
Stella
already go into your the intimacy and in the next level of a relationship. And I see everybody blush here. Oh, my gosh. We're talking about the three words, S-E-X, sex. Yes, we are. And that's part of the language of intimacy that two people share with each other when they're committed to it, hopefully when they're committed to each other.
Oh, I like that. You know, I wish, obviously, I know that relationships like that exist and they're full of respect. They carry on for a long, long time. They have beautiful sex life and, you know, they have ups and downs, but really it's all about respect in the end. But if marriage is falling apart, and do you think that surrounding keeps us tied into past relationships, or do you think it's better to do you need to move from the place that you lived with your ex? Do you think?
Well, you need to be sure that what you want to do and when the you're in false expectations.
Yep.
So, a lot of times, one of the problems that happens in the relationships is that, as we said before, I think everybody's trying to change the other rather than changing oneself.
Mm.
And couples need to understand that we cannot change somebody else. And I need to learn that. For many years, I tried to change my husband.
Yeah.
There's no way I can change him.
Yeah.
You know, I have to change myself. But it's like, for example, one of the things that I tell my patient is like, if you are making a dish and I'm not a good cook, the kitchen and me are not very good friends, yet I know how it applies to relationships. If you want to make a good dish and you try the dish and it doesn't taste good, you keep doing the same recipe over and over again and complaining that you have the same dish that doesn't taste good.
No.
Okay.
Change.
So you don't have to change all of the ingredients in the relationship for the recipe to change. So if you change yourself and you're the ingredient that you're changing in that recipe, the recipe is going to change and it's going to taste differently. There is no other way around it.
Okay. That
Absolutely.
Means that when you have a new person and you bring the new person to your old surrounding, the places, the couches, the TV, the same dishes, is there something that you can separate yourself from and just say...
You lost me on this one.
Okay, then I'm telling you again. Okay, mostly people, when they leave... They leave us, okay? The person, husband leaves you, wife
Oh, the relationship.
You're
already into the... You know, we came to the realization that we need to leave this recipe.
Yes, I know,
We need to leave this part.
I know. But it's something like that, that I am attached to things. I don't know if my friends are attached to things. Okay, to bed, to pillows, to ring, to this. Let it go. Do you think let it go of that? Things that beholds you to your past? Like, beautiful ring. What
how
do you do with ring?
Yeah, but how does that... What does that have to do with what we're talking about, with the relationships?
To me, a lot. Because, you know, when you love somebody and you have 25 years wedding ring on your finger,
but
and one day you don't...
But that's material. That's material. You know,
it's not the symbol of love. It's not the symbol.
No. It's
the
a
wedding
ring.
Book does go. It's
a ring.
Okay.
You know, who cares
so
about the
that's
ring?
What is, yeah. You
well,
know,
there
yeah.
is a... Yeah. But what Ilana's saying, though, there is a different... I've heard this, actually, too, is that if you have things in your place that remind you of your ex, they carry energy.
Okay, I'm
now
sorry. This
I
is
get
my
it.
Accent.
I get it.
They carry energy.
No, it's not your accent.
It's good to release and get rid of that stuff because that reminds you of that person.
No, definitely.
What do you think about it?
Totally, I agree with you. Actually, if you go into a new relationship, it's better to go into a new home together and to create that home together.
I agree with
In
you.
That regard, absolutely.
I agree with you. Yes. Thank you so much. You know, we had this conversation with my friend. It's not even about me.
Yes. I apologize. I didn't understand what you were trying to say.
It's really important to just let it
go.
Thank
you, Mary
Grace. Start fresh, with this open-minded. And and the trust. You said something, the trust. This is something that you need to earn. And how can you find somebody that you believe that you can trust somebody again? Is this something that you meet somebody and decide to put trust in their hands?
Well, I personally start relationships with trust.
Yes.
Yeah, and basically, I trust until proven differently.
Okay.
That's what I do too.
Okay.
And,
I like this.
Yeah, because I don't know what the person is about. And I basically, friends or relationship or,
Don't prejudge. You just come to a relationship.
You're not,
I liked it. That's very good.
You're not prejudging. You come into a relationship with basic trust. And which is one of the initial stages of development, according to Erickson, we need to develop basic trust. And how do we develop basic trust as we're growing up? Basically, the baby is trusting that the mother is going to react to the baby's needs when the baby's hungry or cold or needs a new diaper. However, at that stage, also, the baby needs to learn that things don't happen right away. We need to start developing frustration tolerance so that that basic trust, we trust that it will happen, but doesn't need to happen right now.
Okay.
Because then you're going to have relationships. If you get stuck in that stage of development, you're going to get stuck in relationships that have problems and conflict because they want it now. But why are you talking to me? I don't care if you're in a business conference. I need you now.
Yes.
It's not realistic.
Yes.
You need to respect each other's needs and wait for the right time.
What if this right time never happens?
Go to the next one.
The next one, just is this I'm just
there's
pessimistic.
A lot of fish in the sea.
Okay, that's what you are saying, that there's always this one person that is just.
What did somebody
waiting?
Once say that it's like a bus stop? Men are like buses. One leaves, another one's pulling.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, exactly. You just remind me. It's very interesting. Many years ago, I gave a seminar to an airlines. I don't want to mention the name, but I gave a seminar to an airlines as to how to deal with the passengers, stressful situations, and what to do. And there was a lady in the room that she wanted to cover every single situation. And I told her, it's impossible. There is no way that you can cover every single situation. What if this happened, if that happened, or what have you? Because what we haven't realized is that self-confidence comes from the feeling that you trust yourself. We trust oneself that no matter what, we're going to be able to overcome the challenges that life brings into us and faces us. And sometimes we're going to fail, but we trust that we're going to stand up and do it differently.
Wake up at morning, shake
right.
off your troubles.
And it's better to risk and quote-unquote fail, because you never fail. There's no failure ever, I don't believe. And I don't believe anybody should have any regrets, because everybody in their life is doing the best that they can every moment of their life, and they're making choices and decisions based on who they are in that moment. So you can't go back and have a regret about it.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree and disagree. I agree in that we need to take risks. I disagree in that there is no failure. Yes, there is failure, but we can handle it.
But what is failure?
What is failure? For example, right now, if I decide that I'm going to lift the desk that we're sitting at with one hand or with two hands, I cannot even, so heavy that I cannot even, move it an inch. So I can have the intention and the action that I'm going to lift it, and then realize that I cannot do it. I failed, but it's okay.
Yeah.
I need to learn from it is that if I still want to move this desk, I need something else. Either I need to bring a crew of people so we can move it to where I want to move it, or I need to
just find another way.
You know what it is too? I think I'm having a challenge with the word failed. I think if you try to lift the desk, you couldn't accomplish it just then.
Exactly.
But with a will and a way, you can make it happen.
Exactly.
So you didn't fail. You just you weren't able to do it at that time.
I failed at the way I wanted to do it at the first time. So then you need to look for a different way to accomplish the goal. So we kind of agree and disagree. Mm-hmm. I see, you know, failure as admitting and accepting that there's going to be failures in the way we expected things are going to work, but not necessarily in the goal itself.
Mm-hmm. I think I just have a challenge. I think words are so powerful, and the words that we use in our vocabulary all have a lot to do to determine our lives. And I think the word failure has a very negative, like, energy about it.
It depends how we, it is a negative, but we wouldn't know about success if we didn't know about failure.
Yeah.
We live in a world of opposites.
And I agree with that. They both
exist. So we go back to what I was talking about before, that is our attitude as to what is it that we're going to do with our lives, with our attitude, with overcoming challenges, and that builds self-confidence, not self-esteem. Self-esteem is different. We build self-esteem when somebody applauds to us, and somebody tells us, oh, you look
you
so
great,
you did this, you did that. That's self-esteem, like, oh, we feel good about it, but it's more temporary. Self-confidence that we carry with ourselves, it comes from taking risks and overcoming challenge after challenge, yeah. And it's going to continue until the day we die.
I like that.
And maybe the next life.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You are right, Mary, you know, because Mary and Esther, you are so right, because we are having an everyday small failures and bigger failures, you know, but the small one just almost we forget right away, and we are moving into another things that we want to accomplish. The bigger
so
one.
So we can move to the next stage. I don't know if you ladies saw the movie Defending Your Life with Albert Brooks.
Yes.
Ah. It's a movie that everybody needs to watch. I think it's an amazing movie. And here we're talking about people who have died, and then they go to the middle stage, next stage, that is called defending your life. And basically they need to defend their fears, you know, the fears that they didn't overcome in their earthly life, so that they can continue going into the next stage. And they want to defend their life to go into the next stage rather than having to go back into the earthly life. Probably. It's such a beautiful concept.
Right. Like Groundhog Day.
Okay.
You know, living the same life over and over again until you finally get it.
Isn't it amazing? I guess that we're being influenced by the Golden Globes, huh? Now we're talking movies.
Oh, I like that. Oh, we can really go back to last night. This was a beautiful night.
Oh, wasn't it?
Oh, all gosh. Of us were watching.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We had our favorites, you know. We are coming from relationships, but we saw beautiful marriages, hugging and kissing each other, and congratulating each other.
Making up for each other. Did you see?
Ben Affleck's wife.
George Clooney. And told his wife, oh, please, you know, can you make it up for me? That was so beautiful.
I loved Hollywood.
Classic marriage moment.
Mostly we see Hollywood in a worse light, but I think the Golden Globes proved that we have so many beautiful couples who care about each other and they really, you know, work together.
Absolutely.
Or if they don't, they're just husbands or wives saying, without you, I would be nothing, but without you, I'm who I am right now. And I just love this so much. And we had a lot of beautiful clothes also, yes?
Oh,
the dresses.
Absolutely.
Okay, who had what favorite? What was your favorite dress?
A dress?
Yes.
Ah, Sofia Vergara. I love it. Besides, you know, I just like adore her.
She's adorable.
I love her accent.
Of course.
Obviously, you know, me having an accent, I just love her accent. Salma Hayek,
yes.
I think
she was such a beautiful, amazing lady.
And I had the honor of meeting her personally at some point. And Ben Affleck, she looks gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
What happened? Who was the one in the tails who had the long coat?
I don't...
He looked really great.
I know who you're talking about because I remember thinking, why is he wearing tails right now?
Yeah, but he's good.
Yeah, but
you know, made a stand.
It's so interesting, you know, the relationships and everything. You know, it's like I feel kind of uncomfortable talking about fashion. I don't wanna. You know, my daughter-in-law Kyle Richards is on TV Guide Network tonight talking about the but the fashion grab. Fashion. You know, and you know she's amazing at covering all of that. But we're here talking about, you know, relationships.
But the relationships and how we
talk about your daughter-in-law.
But yeah, but our clothes and relationships and our failure and how we perceive ourselves, how we want to lose weight.
Oh, body language.
Body language. That's so important.
Body language and body perception is so important. You know, when you stand in front of the mirror and what you see, basically, a lot of times it has nothing to do with what you're actually seeing. It has to do with the projection that we put out there. Oh, I have a little fat here and fat there and my thighs.
Who cares?
You know, I do too.
I know.
But at the end, you know, we care, but as long as we don't overcare, that holds us back from continuing living and being spontaneous. That's what is important, because I do care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know, when you care about yourself, it adds to your self-confidence. And as you were talking about earlier, you know, it's the self-confidence, and the more self-confidence you have, the easier it's going to be for
your body image. You know, I have seen people that, you know, go even through surgeries and liposuction and the surgery after surgery, and nothing is going to be right. Never they're going to be happy with what they have, because their body image is not there.
Yeah. Dr. Estella, today we were talking about divorce, about the relationship after divorce, about finding the trust and finding not being afraid of failing and just picking yourself up and just doing what we really plan to do in life and just, you know, be optimistic, looking optimistically that life really has good ending for us and hoping for that. But if you will be like giving us few the most important lines for to close today's topic. Okay, when we are talking about divorce, what we supposed to be worried about or what we don't?
Well, you know, it's so important. We need to heal our heart. You know, we need to reclaim our life first, not rush into a new relationship right away. Go through the grief period necessarily without overdoing it. Start socializing, going out, not necessarily to date, but going out with friends. Talk to friends. If need to be, talk to a therapist. And go on with life. Life is beautiful.
Life is for living.
And it's, as Mary Gray said, it's moment to moment.
Yeah,
I love, you know, what you said, and life is a journey, and it's moment to moment that we need to model and be the best we can from second to second, minute to minute.
Absolutely.
And open our heart, yes, because we know that the love is there somewhere waiting for us.
Yeah.
And never lose your hope.
Never lose hope. We need to start loving ourselves first. And I think it would be important. Wouldn't you love if people would send emails or tweet information as to what are the subjects and their concerns that they have in terms of life, relationships themselves? I think that would be wonderful. You know, people, you know, if you're listening out there, you know, either contact Ilona Europa. I think she has an amazing show here that she wants to get out there to the world. You can also send me messages via Twitter, is the easiest, at Dr. Estella, D as in David, R, E as in Esther, S as in Sam, T as in Thomas, E as in Esther, L as in London, L as in London, A as in Apple. Dr. Estella.
I love it. Thank you so much again. You know,
thank
we
you.
Covered beautiful and very sometimes hard issues, but I hope we'll have a lot of people trying to contact you and talking to us, writing on Accent On. And also, Mary Grace, I just love you because you gave us beautiful line for today,
thank
saying
you.
That life is a journey and we're just supposed to just take it how it is and just go forward. And thank you again, Dr. Estella, because like you said, self-confidence, believing in ourselves, believing that life is here for us to live and be happy with what we've got, not what we lost it. that's probably is very important.
Absolutely, you know, and stop being angry for, you know, with people that they are different. I mean, difference is the salt and pepper of life, you know, so let's embrace it and enjoy it and be with each other.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for today. And Eva, I would love to finish our show with song Anticipation for Love by Ilona Europa.